You're listening to the Barracing Training Hill Podcast. I'm your host, Brianna Avery. In this episode, I'm going to tell you guys my actual horse story. I don't think I've ever actually put this out on any social media platform. So if you guys are wondering how I actually got into horses, how I got into training horses, kind of where I've been, you're going to want to listen up. As well as stay to the end, I'm going to tell you guys some tips and tricks to get into the horse world if you guys aren't already there. Or maybe you're in the horse world and you're wanting a little bit more help to get to some trainers that maybe you haven't had access to before. So super excited about this episode. If you guys are not already, be sure to subscribe. Make sure you guys are subscribed up on all my social media platforms, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest. I have to think about all of them. And let's get rolling. Let me tell you guys my actual horse story. So when I was super, super young, I actually was scared of horses. I was scared of dogs. I was scared of horses. I could climb up my dad faster than anyone if I ever saw a dog. Like, they just scared the heck out of me. So that being said, it took me a hot minute, but I got over it probably when I was like five. Like, I don't know. I have no idea, but it was probably when I was five. And from ever since I can remember, I just had begged my parents for a horse. And I had grew up kind of around cows a little bit. Like, our family had a ranch in Idaho. Well, has a ranch in Idaho. So I grew up around that a little bit. I wasn't living there, but I grew up around it. And so I kind of like was in that world a little bit, but I never had the opportunity to have horses. I always would drive past horses and I'd just be like, man, like, I really want a horse. Like, oh, not fair. I just was like, man, I almost was just super envious of people who had horses, because I was like, man, I wish I had a horse. Like, and I had no idea what I'd be signing up for. But you know what? It's brought me here and I'm super excited. So anyways, I could remember from the longest time wanting a horse, never got one. When I was 8 years old, I finally convinced my parents to let me take riding lessons. And I took probably like 2 lessons, and my parents decided it was too expensive, which I do not blame them, because it was. The barn that we had around us at the time was just way too expensive. So didn't end up staying very long. And then when I was 13, I finally convinced my parents again to let me start up. And that time I started a really awesome barn. We're really good with friends with them now. I rodeoed with them. Like, oh my gosh, it was super awesome. And it just started it all. So I started taking lessons there. I think I was 13. I started taking lessons when I was 13 and I fell in love with it. I took lessons for probably 6 months, and probably after like 4 months or so, we started learning how to run barrels, at least walk and trot them. And the first day, like, I walked and trotted around the barrels and I was like, dang, I really like this. Like, okay, this is what I'm doing. And it was like the weirdest thing, because like, I wasn't running. I just was like legit walking around barrels. And I was like, wow, I really like this. I don't know. It was a little crazy. But anyways, I'm sure that was Heavenly Father setting me up for like, okay, this is your calling in life. Yeah, better get rolling on it, because you're already 13. So let's go. But anyways, I really fell in love with it. And I remember one day I got in the truck when my dad came to pick me up. And I was like, Dad, I got to get a horse. And he was like, oh yeah, I knew this day was coming. He didn't say that, but I knew it. He knew it. Anyways, and so he was like, okay, well, you know, you figure the finances out, you find a place to keep them, you find the horse, and we'll think about it. So they went home and I figured everything out. I was like, okay, this is how much a saddle's gonna cost, this is how much hay is gonna cost, boarding, all of the above. And he was like, all right, if you pay for everything but the horse and the boarding, we'll see what we can do. So I found a horse and we went to look at it. And I looked at the one horse, and the lady had another horse that she had with her. And she's like, oh, this little paint mare, she's also for sale. She might be something you like, let's try them both out. Let me know. So the one horse we rode was like a deadhead. Like, oh my goodness, not going to work. Like, I was like, bro, I'm going to go fast. Like, I don't do slow. So the one horse is deadhead. I was like, we don't need that. So we ended up buying this little paint mare. She was the very first horse that I got. She actually just passed away in July, which was awful. She was 20 and she had colic. She had a lot of colic problems, which was crazy. Her system was just so sensitive. Like, we could do everything in the book and keep it so concise and just on top of everything. And she just was so sensitive. Like, it just happens. So anyways, unfortunately we lost her with that, and that was devastating. But I had her for like 6 years. So she was the very first horse that I got, and I started learning how to ride on her. She was just like this fast little sucker of a horse. Like, holy cow. She was like 14.3, tiny, tiny little thing, but she was super fast. So I started 4-H with her. I started learning how to ride. She taught me legit everything. She was already a barrel horse. She knew what she was doing. I just had to figure out what I was doing. So she was really patient about it. But my dad might not attest to that. She was kind of a sassy little mare. But you know what? We take it because she was good. So anyways, I started riding and I started doing 4-H. I soon found out 4-H was not for me. I did not like that. Neither did the little paint mare that I had. She was more of a speed horse. She just liked to go fast and she didn't really care about the whole slow thing. So we'd get to Western Equitation and whatever that stuff is called, the slow stuff, and she was like, I don't do this. Like, she would race everyone around the arena. It was super, super funny. So I decided that I was like, yeah, you know what? I kind of want to try rodeo and I'm going to just go for it. And so right after 4-H, it was about my junior year of high school, and I decided that I was going to do high school rodeo. And so signed up, got going, and it was a blast. I met so many people there. I still talk to a ton of people that I rodeoed with. Like, it was so fun. So anyways, I started with her and it was, man, I want to say we lasted almost a year of high school rodeo. It wasn't the full 2 seasons of it, but anyways, we got going and she came up lame one day and it was super weird. And so we took her to the vet, found out she had bone spurs, definitely had to end her career kind of semi-permanently. And after that, we just let her kind of be retired and just live the high life that way. So that was super, super awesome. For her to kind of just get a break and have a year off. It was super devastating, honestly, to see that, but it was really good for her to have a year off and kind of just relax. But we started doing that, and then I got another horse named Iceman, the big white horse you guys see on my social media platforms all the time. He's a super dang cool horse too. I got really lucky in the horse department. Like, they're all super, super cool. But anyways, I got Iceman and I finished off my senior year of high school rodeo with him. So that was super fun, and kind of, he's the one who kind of sparked the really high-end competitive rodeo world for me. I knew, Maddie took me to as far as she possibly could, and I really just had to learn on her. And then I kind of got a step up, got Iceman, and right now he's running with my little sister while I'm up here in college. But I started my senior year of high school rodeo with him, and then after I finished high school rodeo, I was like, man, I don't really know what I'm gonna do, but I think I'm gonna just try and do some pro rodeo. So I started in RMPRA, so that's a pro rodeo association in Utah and Idaho, and I started there and he did really, really good. That was a super awesome experience. I still run in that association quite a bit, but it's been all over the place with college and everything like that. It's been exciting. But anyways, I started doing that with him, and so just kind of started in that. And then as I was doing that pro rodeo, I picked up a job down at the Young Living farm in Utah. And so they do the essential oils, but they also have a jousting team there and a whole ranch, actually. It was super cool. Didn't even know it existed. And so I got in, I was in charge for training all those jousting horses. So basically they're big old draft horses, Percheron mixes. And I was in charge of training them, being ready for the jousting show. So I'd get on quite a few horses every single day, and I really just had to learn how to train, and I had to learn how to ride them all. It was a huge learning curve because these horses are absolutely huge. And you get on a barrel horse and you're okay, the seat's not too hard to find, but you get on a freaking draft horse and you're oh my heck, I gotta figure out what I'm doing here. So it was really awesome learning curve for me to be able to learn how to ride those big horses and learn how to train them. So that was a super awesome opportunity they had. And I feel like that really started out my training career because I had done that for my job. It was my profession and I really had to make sure that I knew what I was doing. So that was really awesome. I got to do that. And after that, I decided that I was going to focus on college a little bit more. So I had to unfortunately quit that job after an accident that I had there. I had a 1,700 pound draft horse fall on me and kind of crushed the right side of my leg. I'm still kind of dealing with that, like, 2 years down the road. But anyways, I didn't break anything, but it was, you know, super, super bruised. Couldn't walk for a while, couldn't ride for a while. If you guys see the story that is coming out today, then I am filming this, but it's just has came out. So if you guys are listening to this episode, you guys can go back and watch it. Or listen to it, not watch it. But anyways, so that was kind of a lovely experience to be in a horse accident. So anyways, got in that accident and I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to kind of tone it down a little bit. I can't be training all the time and riding all the time because it was way too hard on my body at that point. And so I kind of toned it down and I just was rodeoing. And then it was probably about a year later, I came up here to Idaho for college and I bought a little 6-year-old just off a ranch, been roped on, knew where his feet was, and I've kind of been training him now to start on barrels, and he's been really, really good. He's just like taking to barrels so, so quickly, and it's been really cool to just see him and the progress that he's making. So anyways, with that, and then right before I had gotten up here, I had a couple people message me and just be like, hey, like, I really am wanting to kind of start riding. Like, do you think you could give me lessons? And so that's kind of started my training as well, like, up here. I've taught lessons quite a bit, actually, in Utah. So one of the summers, I taught a ton of lessons, had a ton of clients. And I just taught lessons, taught people how to ride horses. So that was really, really fun. As well as when I got up here in Idaho, I've started to really build like a super big client base, not just on social media, obviously, but on whatever it's called, just like training by myself up here, taking on clients, going to barns, helping them be ready to compete or be ready to do any kind of discipline that they're wanting to do. So that's been really, really fun. I've gotten to start getting really into that and gaining more clients with that, as well as obviously through my social media. If you guys aren't already following it, Barrow Sing Training Help, I do a lot of training online and giving people help online with training barrel horses and kind of all of the above with that. So that's been really fun to kind of start doing that. As well as kind of where I'm at right now is I have, like I said, my young horse up here in Idaho with me, and I have quite a few clients that I've taken on training, for barrels or just training horses, and it's been really fun. So, as well as my social media, keeping that up to date and making sure that I put, you know, training tips up there, because that's definitely, something that's really important to me too. So that's kind of where I'm at with that, as well as hoping that once I move back to Utah here in like April or so, I'll start to kind of rodeo a ton more and get Legend, the little young horse that I just bought, going at rodeos and kind of start seizing him. So that'll be really fun. I'm super excited about that. But anyways, that's kind of my story with where we're at and kind of like how I got into horses, how I got into training. I definitely just had to work my way up and just learned as much as I possibly could. I've been really, you know, really fortunate to ride with some really awesome trainers. I didn't really get to ride with a ton when I was really young. I kind of just legit learned everything on my own. There was, you know, like if I was in 4-H or so forth, like people would help me. And that was really awesome. And I had a few trainers that I got to take a couple lessons from and kind of learn as much as I could from there. But I definitely, you know, I didn't have a job at that time. I was like 13, 14, 15. Like I didn't have a job. And so it was definitely like just taking lessons here and there when I could. But anyways, now that I'm, you know, I have, you know, a job and I'm on my own, it's been a little bit easier to get out and take lessons from people if I want, or building my own clientele. So that's been really fun, and that's kind of where I'm at with that. So anyways, for everyone staying till the end about getting into horses and kind of a I guess kind of tips to help you guys get into horses, or maybe you're in horses and you're wanting to get to a different point, or maybe find a few more trainers out there who'd maybe let you come intern with them, depending on kind of where you're at. So my biggest tip for this is I've had a couple people reach out to me, and I've had a couple interns that went about it super awesome, and I really appreciate it. So they basically just were like, hey, like, I'd love to come watch you train. In return, like, I'll clean stalls, I'll do chores, whatever you need me to do, if you let me come watch you train. And I thought that was super awesome. And obviously, I was like, yeah, perfect. Like, I will definitely take that. And so I kind of have let people do that, and that's kind of the way that you need to go about it. So the biggest thing is realizing that if you're wanting to get into horses, or you're wanting to find a trainer and not have to pay for lessons but still be able to kind of go learn from them, is you have to provide value back to them. These people don't make $1 million an hour. Like, as horse trainers, we definitely are doing this because we absolutely love it. We're not millionaires by any means, unless we're like Brittany Posey or Sherry Servey, but definitely most all of us are not millionaires. And so we definitely really appreciate it when people come up to us and just provide value back to us. And so the way that you guys can do it, whether you're in the horse world or not, it really kind of goes both ways. Is, I know, minus the money factor, I'm not really going to give out ways about, you know, because you can go and just pay for lessons, like, that's completely fine. But minus the money factor, the biggest way that you can do it is just basically find a trainer, find someone who really knows what they're doing. Don't go to just some diddly squat trainer. Make sure they know what they're doing, and make sure that you're a fan of kind of what they do and how their horses work, kind of their program. And basically just go and provide value back to them. So a lot of times that includes maybe you just offering the fact that you'll clean stalls for them, or you offering the fact that you'll turn horses out or lope horses around. Usually a loper includes kind of more of a job side of it. But sometimes people let you do that if you're not, you know, like a kind of in a job aspect, I guess. But anyways, so basically provide value back to them. Make sure that you are saying, like, hey, I'll do this and this and this if maybe you spend an hour at the end of the week and let me kind of pick your brain, or maybe let you, you know, come watch them train and just kind of come learn from them as much as you possibly can. So basically, it really just comes down to making sure that you provide value back to them. Make sure that you can find different ways that to help them out, to give them a little bit of your help and return for them letting you kind of train. So that's really where it comes down to, as well as, you know, just finding barns. Maybe if you're wanting to take lessons, and finding barns and be like, hey dude, I'll clean stalls for you if you let me take a lesson at the end of the week for free. So, and usually lessons, you know, only last for an hour or so, but super super easy way to do that. Anyways, hopefully that helped you guys out a little bit, gave you guys a little bit of insight into what I am and who I do. That made zero sense. What I do and who I am. Wow, that made no sense. And hopefully that helped you guys out at the end to kind of know a little bit ways to get into horses and be able to have that knowledge that way. So if you guys enjoyed, make sure you subscribed, and I will see you in next week's episode, or I'll see you on my social media platforms throughout the week. And thank you guys for listening.